Hello, good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. How are you all today? Nice. It's becoming a thing, I feel like. Once again, here I am before you preaching, the guy from the rainy Seattle, and once again, it is raining today. It seems to be that I have an effect on the weather. I don't want to give myself those powers, but for when it's like 115, you can't blame me. That's your fault. Well, happy Sabbath. Hello, one and all. I'm so excited that I get to spend some time with you all this morning. I just want to say and mention how life-giving this past series has been to me. Life after Easter, what do we do when Jesus is Lord? It's been so life-giving to me to just mull over that a little bit, to think on that a little bit. It's been the best. Sometimes for me, I find Easter is this high moment, right? And then the next day is just a normal day. And so to be reminded, okay, what do I do now that Jesus is Lord, this risen Jesus? How do I follow him well? So that's been so great. Thank you, Pastor Chris and everyone else. It's been so great. Mother's Day is right around the corner. If you forgot, you probably have remembered by now at this point in the service. I actually want to share a little secret. I discovered when I got married that I had a pretty awesome father-in-law. I married into a really cool system. So every time a holiday like Mother's Day or an anniversary comes along, a group text goes out from the father bird, and it says something along the lines of, don't forget, everyone, today is anniversary or today is birthday. It's really, really great. In fact, now I'm sort of regretting saying this. So to my wife who is listening, all those times that I remembered our anniversary, it was because of me alone. I am the exception to the rule. But I have enjoyed this because Mother's Day is such an awesome holiday to remember, because moms are also the best. And as this Mother's Day gets closer, Abby and I find ourselves in an interesting season of adulthood now, where we've been out of undergrad for a few years, and a lot of our friends in our circle have gotten married. No more are the conversations focusing around graduation, finding a job, getting married. Now the conversations are turning to a different subject, that being babies. And so a lot of our friends right now it's starting to happen. It's sort of this thing that I've heard happens as you sort of, you know, get older into adulthood, that all of a sudden the conversation starts to change to parenthood. So a lot of our friends right now are talking about baby planning and like, oh, we're gonna start trying this summer, and a couple have already gotten pregnant. And there are a few who have recently had babies, a few of our close friends. And what I notice is it's sort of a different age now. I mean, I know I'm 26 years old, so I'm not too old. I don't even know if I'm old enough to say it's sort of a different age, but it feels like a different age. It feels like a different age because now a few of our friends who've recently had babies, we have social media, right? So you can share anything. So a few of our friends who have had babies, they've shared with the world the whole process, you know, being pregnant day one, and then they post weekly updates on, you know, as baby gets bigger, and then, you know, in the hospital about to give birth, and it's just like every single stage of it. It's really kind of cool. I'm not sure to be like, wow, this is so much great information, or like little TMI, kind of like all mixed and wrapped up into one. But it's been really, really interesting. But it has reminded me, as we have a couple friends, or one in particular who has been posting kind of the realities of motherhood and trying to kind of break the stigma of posting just like the really, really hard stuff. So she posted a picture of herself like covered in throw up. She's like, this is motherhood. And I'm just like, wow, being a mom is hard. Like it's really, really hard. So my goal today is just maybe to tell some stories about my mom. I want to look in the book of Elijah a little bit, and hopefully if you are a mom this morning that you walk away encouraged and empowered for another day. So can we pray together? Jesus, thank you so much for your huge love for us and your huge love for moms. We just celebrate mothers today because mothers are the givers of life. And Jesus, would you just walk with us? Would you walk with my words? Would you lead us to the things that need to be said? And would you dwell amongst us in this time? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. So admission, I have to admit something, and that is I am sort of a mama's boy. Sort of a mama's boy. I love my mom. I have a picture of her for you on the screen. This is me and my mom on the day of my wedding. And I simply love my mom. It's been kind of cool. I have this recurring thing where every Mother's Day I post a picture of me giving her a big smooch on the cheek. So this is probably going to be this Mother's Day post because I just simply love my mom. My mom, I like to say, my mom was my superhero growing up. My mom was my superhero. Now to frame this, understand this, you have to understand my childhood was sort of racked with fear. I like to say that the theme of my early childhood was fear. I dealt with a lot of just fear, an intense fear of the dark, fear of being alone, lots and lots of fear. And I used to have horrible, horrible nightmares and night terrors, waking up just sort of like yelling and crying. Maybe a few of you mothers are smiling because this is familiar to you. But this was me, this was my childhood. So to me, my mother was my superhero. And I still, it's really funny when I talk to her about it because she recalls it, you know, like 2-3 in the morning, all of a sudden, like she'd be in bed, you know, just about to fall asleep or totally asleep already. And then she'd just hear, "Mom!" And then she'd hear like this, like, and me just like running down the hallway, and then I would do like a swan dive and just like straight into her bed, right between my dad and her, of course, the perfect spot, the sweet spot, and just dive right into the bed, into safety. Great times. As I sort of continued to deal with my fear of the dark and my fear of nightmares, etc., my mom crafted a master strategy. She would sit in the hallway with my door cracked open just a little bit with the hallway light on, and she would sing softly outside of my room. And I remember falling asleep night after night, and that was sort of the only way I could fall asleep because I just had this intense fear. And so she would soothe me to sleep in that way. My mom was my superhero. And I also remember there was a time where I just had, like, I think I had some sort of, like, dehydration problem or I wasn't drinking enough water or something like that. And I was having horrible, horrible stomach aches, which eventually led me to being admitted to the hospital for a few days. And leading up to this, I would have these horrible, unexplained stomach aches. And my mom, she just seemed to know exactly what to do. Don't moms just, they just seem to know. I would like fall on, I'd be on the floor like kind of rolling around in pain, and she would be like, "Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make you some chamomile tea. I'm gonna get you a hot pad." And she just had like this plan. We're gonna get the special blanket. We're gonna set you up really nice. So she'd give me the tea and then she'd feed me some echinacea. You know, just, that's sort of a thing that ethnic mothers do. I can say that because my mom is ethnic. Echinacea, ginger root, a little bit of garlic all blended up together. You know, these awesome home remedies. My mom had the best home remedies, still does. Just absolutely the best. My mom was my superhero. Now, what's interesting for me is I had this perception that my mom was my superhero, was invincible, was unshakable. But what I didn't know at the time was my mom actually felt like she was a bad mom. She felt like she was a terrible mother at the time. What I didn't know was my family was struggling deeply financially when I was young. What I didn't know was my mom was dealing with a depression disorder that led her close to the brink of suicide multiple times. What I didn't know was she was struggling with loneliness and feeling like she didn't have many friends. What I didn't know was my mom was trying to unlearn some of the things that she had learned as a child growing up in a dysfunctional home. And it's just interesting because when we talk now, she says she felt so empty as a mother when she was raising me. She says, "I was a terrible mom. I felt so empty, so drained, felt like I had nothing to give. But when I look back, all I remember is my superhero." I think it speaks to a reality that if you are a mom or have been a mom, you've probably felt empty before. You've probably felt empty, whether that's physically empty or stressed or emotionally empty or spiritually empty, romantically empty. You've probably felt empty. And if that's the case, I think that you might be able to relate with a mother in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. I want to read a verse, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Story of Elijah. It says, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophet cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except for a jar of oil.'" Now let's talk about oil for a second, a little bit of oil context. Probably olive oil is what she would have been talking about. Now olive oil in this time period would have been like your lifeblood, right? Olive oil, it was used as a form of currency. It was used as a cosmetic for skin and hair. It was used as a medicine, right? We remember the story of the Good Samaritan. He mixes a little bit of oil with wine. It's used as a food, of course. Actually, what's interesting about olive oil in this time period was usually most food was cooked with olive oil instead of butter. A lot of us, maybe we use butter these days, but olive oil was like the go-to cooking aid at the time, and also as a light source. So oil, saying I'm out of oil is almost like saying I'm running low on life. Oil was like your life. So when we meet this woman, she only has one jar of oil left. She doesn't have enough. She's running low. She's running low on life. Running low on time, running low on money, on second chances, on patience. She's empty. Maybe if you're a mother, you've felt empty before. And if that's the case, listen to what Elisha tells her in verse 3. Elisha says, "Then he said to her, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside.' So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her." Now I want to speak specifically to the mothers now. To the mothers with kids at home, there are a few of you here today. I want to speak a word of encouragement that I think and I want to hope to believe that God sees you pouring into your children or into your vessels, that God sees the pouring. He sees all the pouring that you do and you've done. And when I say the pouring, I mean all of the stuff you're probably already doing, you know, like don't burp and like be polite at the table and like here's how to tie your shoes and all of the conversations and oh, we got to go to timeout now. All of the parent stuff that I don't know about yet, right? That I can't really talk about. All the parent things that you're doing, you're pouring into your kids. I'm also thinking about those teachable moments, right? At summer camp, the summer camp I worked at in Washington, we used to talk a lot about teachable moments as counselors and camp staff, that there were moments where something would happen, oh, and we have a little teachable moment here. Hey, we don't hit another person in the eye with a stick. Just a teachable moment. And it's been interesting for me being over in the elementary side of the academy over the past couple weeks with Pastor Bev helping out over there. It's been really, really cool to see the teachers over there. They're just masters of the teachable moment, right? Every now and then we see them maybe at PE or at recess or even in the classroom saying, hey, we don't do that way. Here's why. Just having a quick little teachable moment, right? Teachable moments, all of the parent things. I believe that God sees you pouring into the vessels, pouring into your children. I also believe that God sees you shutting the door behind yourself. I think that God sees that, you shutting the door behind yourself. I'm realizing that I feel like at a certain point, anyone who made a commitment to be a mother made the decision that life is not about me right now. I like to talk sometimes to the students over at the academy about marriage and relationships. Well, a couple of the teachers have asked me to come in and have a couple conversations with the seniors specifically, just about marriage and stuff. And something I find the most interesting about marriage is I find there are so many moments in marriage where I come up to a point where I don't even know if there's a compromise. One person just has to be selfless. Like you, one person just has to die to themselves and what they want. And I feel like motherhood is almost an amplified version of that, where it's just, you're dying to yourself every day. You're just, you wake up and you die to yourself. You say, okay, this isn't about me. You're just dying to yourself every single day. At least that's what I saw my mom do. Just year after year, day after day, dying to herself, just giving and giving and giving. Maybe there have been turned down opportunities in your life, things you could have done that you wish you could have done. You're like, wow, I really, really want to do that. But unfortunately, you couldn't because of your kids, because you chose to spend time with your kids. I'm talking about those moments you said no to spend time with friends. As Abby and I have gotten a little older and have had adult friends with children, we've realized you can't ask people with kids to hang out at 9 p.m. in the evening. It's just not a thing that will happen. Not at all. We'll invite people. We'll be like, hey, you want to come over? They'll be like, yeah, sure. When do you want to do it? We're like, okay, well, you know, next Saturday night. Okay, sounds great. What time? And I'll be like, oh, you know, 7:30. And they'll be like, 7:30? Kids are in bed at 6. Kids are in bed at 4:30. I'm like, what? It's just, you know, a whole different world to me, which I'm sure I'll experience. But it's so I'm sensing this, you know, you right? Like your evenings are a little bit different than those without children. Right, when you have kids, you're just pouring. Pouring is uncomfortable, right? Pouring is draining. You're emptying yourself, and maybe the hardest part is maybe your kids don't even realize it, right? They don't even realize how hard you're working. They don't even realize how much you're pouring. At least I didn't. I was the most oblivious kid in the world. Did not realize how hard my mom was working until I had my own house to take care of. I'm like, wow, I can barely manage like making sure my house is relatively clean, let alone, you know, take care of some humans. It's just, you know, a whole nother thing, right? But the best part of this story, I think, that encourages me as I think about my mom and how hard she worked was that God promises in this story that as long as you're pouring, you'll never run dry. That as long as you continue to pour, you'll never run out. It reminds me of the reality that love and motivation are both byproducts of action, right? That love and motivation are not feelings that you emotionally feel first, but instead they're byproducts of doing an action. I know in my life I get caught up in that sometimes, that, man, I'm just waiting to feel motivated. I'm just waiting until I have that, like, that passionate spark of romance for my wife to go and buy her flowers or clean the house for her, do something spontaneous. I'm waiting for the feeling. But the harsh reality is that feelings are byproducts of acting, right? That you act first and the feeling comes later. I think author and pastor Tim Keller says it really well when he says, our culture says that feelings of love are the basis for actions of love. And of course, that can be true. But it is truer to say that actions of love can lead consistently to feelings of love. I love that quote because I feel like this just describes my mom. Acting in love, despite feeling like she was empty, despite feeling like she had nothing to give. Elijah, in this woman, I truly believe this story speaks an interesting word. I want to read verse 6 now. 2 Kings 4, verse 6 and 7 says, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. Then all the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. I think the way this story ends reflects a hope that all moms have, which is all of the pouring that you're doing will pay off eventually, that all the giving will amount to something, right? That your children will turn into two good, positive, loving members of the world, right? The pouring will pay off. I'm sort of an optimist. Maybe you've noticed this in interactions with me or moments up here. I sort of want to believe the best. I try and always believe the best. It's sort of my Achilles heel. I'm just like, always believe the best about anyone, even to the end. Even if it hurts me, I'm just like, no, they're a good person. All the way to the end. But I want to believe that the pouring will pay off for you as a mother. I want to believe that the pouring will pay off. It may not be when you want it to be, right? It may not be until your kids are 26 years old like me. I'm 26. My mom, just an example, my mom had an extensive chore system when I was growing up. It was the bane of my existence. She had an extensive chore system. So every day when I got home from school, I'd be like, okay, what's on the list? So I'd go check the list. We'd do the chores. So and there were like categories of chores. There were kitchen chores. There were living room chores. And there were bedroom chores. The bedroom chores were clean everything. Maybe some of you can relate with that. There were just categories of chores, this whole extensive list of chores. And I hated it as a kid, but something interesting happened to me as I grew up and I got married and I had my own house, was I realized all of a sudden I have this like chore skill set. I'm like amazing at chores. And I can do like any chore that like conceivable. And my wife will just be like, how did you even learn how to do that? And I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Like my mom just taught me, you just screw this cap off and you scrub underneath and there's a secret little compartment. And I'm just like great at chores. It's just really, really weird. And I like know every, like all the brands to buy and like the perfect sponges and like, I'm good to go, I'm ready. Like, you know, the magic erasers. Oh, magic erasers. We preach a whole sermon about magic erasers. My word. But because of my mom, I have this skill set now, right? I have this skill set. And it's weird how the things that you as a parent think that, you know, and I don't even know if this is getting through. I don't even know if they're even going to remember this. I don't even know. It's weird as an adult now, all the things are coming back. All the things are coming back. I want to speak to moms with kids who are not at home. Now, as I think about winding down here, to the moms with kids who are not at home. We wouldn't be who we are without you, truly. We wouldn't be who we are without you. My mom is a social worker. So in my house growing up, there was a lot of conversation about codependency and signs of abuse and, you know, red flags in a relationship and, you know, unhealthy communication dynamics. So, you know, surprisingly, or maybe non-surprisingly, when I got to Well University, I chose as my minor psychology, and I was attracted to all these counseling classes. And I wondered, man, this is so interesting to me, so attractive to me. And as I thought about it more, I realized, wow, like this is how I was like raised, like within these conversations. They're just so interesting to me. My mom is also an amazing vocalist, beautiful singer. And I remember growing up sitting in the living room and she would be practicing for like a special music at church and singing His Eye Is on the Sparrow. Maybe some of you know that song. And I remember just sitting there as a kid and sort of trying to sing along, and she would give me a little mic and I would sounded terrible, but you know, just trying to sing along with her. And then now I find that music and singing is the biggest, one of the biggest passions and hobbies in my own life. You know, all these things that just seem to be caught, not taught, you know, it's something so beautiful. So to the moms with big kids at home, we wouldn't be who we are without you. And finally, to those who are missing their mothers, I feel like I would be deeply amiss if I did not stop and at least acknowledge that for some, Mother's Day is a reminder of someone who's not with you. I joke sometimes with my dad that I keep a list and I have like a working eulogy for him for his memorial service. He laughs at it. He's like, how could you? Like, do you want me to be gone? I'm like, no, you know, I wanna know what I wanna say. You know, I wanna have thought about it a little bit. But it's weird, it's different from my mom. I honestly don't know what I would say because it's just a little bit different. And if you have lost your mom, maybe you can understand. If you're in that category, I just want to say that we see you, and I'm sorry, and we remember. We remember. I found that as I've lived long enough to now have experienced the loss of someone that I truly loved, it's not the same. It never can be the same. But I experience hope now on a different level, right? I experience hope on a completely different level. It means something so much different when when I sing the last verse of Amazing Grace when we've been there for 10,000 years. It means something different because you're thinking about a person, right? So to the mothers, to those who are missing their mothers, we see you this morning. We did this a little earlier. Pastor Bev has already honored you all, but if you are a mother this morning, could you stand again? And could we give you a round of applause for who you are? Could you please stand if you are a mother? You may be seated. I just want to say a word of thanks to you for all of the moments that maybe nobody ever knew, all of the times that you felt empty. And I want to read a final verse as a word of encouragement. It comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Paul's words of encouragement, I think, are just so life-giving to me. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I'm waiting for it, but I'm gonna get it. We're gonna find it. We don't have it, but we're gonna have a second. Isn't technology the best? It's simply the best. You'd think that with improved technology over the years that things like this would get easier, but it's just so funny how that happened. So we're gonna go to Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Verse 16, it goes a little something like this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.